What's good, everybody? Wednesday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen and Rob Rees back with you, talking fantasy and sports betting, DFS, the whole book. Bobby Bender here as well. What's up, boys?
What's up, everybody? How are we doing today, Bobby?
I'm in mourning. I surrender after the Buffalo Sabres go up 3-0 in the third period. We all know the story by now. I got folks on Twitter hitting me up. Oh, Bob, wonderful job with the sledgehammer. Total jinx job, by the way. I mean, I felt the game slipping away the moment the Flyers scored the first goal. I said, oh, God, this is it. Because once they get it to within one, the Sabres are going to be all tight, which they were. They missed the empty net goal. So the sledgehammer record is now blemished, okay, because I decide to take the Sabres, who have they're on an epic losing streak. They're up 3-0 in the third period, and they can't close the deal for Bob Bender. That's a bad beat. So I'm still fired up about it. I totally surrender. No more. No more with the Sabres. I'm done with the Sabres, and I might surrender altogether. You might not get a pick from me for the rest of the year after that loss. That thing has got me flying off the handle.
My favorite thing was my buddy Nate Geary up in Buffalo Radio said, I'm not even mad, I'm impressed. So I think it took a little skill to, you know, in the wrong ways to lose a game in that fashion when you're in the middle of the longest losing streak of the shootout era since 2005-06. So they'll go back to work, try to overcome this thing, try to avoid 19 straight. They play the Flyers again. So touch that if you want. They're getting very close when they play the Flyers, but no cigar.
We're talking about 18 straight losses. And let me just put a bow on it with this. I don't know who the player was. I don't know if I ever want to know who the player was. I don't know who it was with the empty net, but I don't know what he was trying to accomplish from the moment he got the puck until he decided to do the shovel into the net was one of the most ridiculous plays I've ever seen in my life. He lost his footing. I mean, just they're totally tight. They're in their own heads, and it was tough. And I'm obviously still upset, and I don't want to spend any more time on it. I want to move forward, Robbie. Steer the ship. All the listeners that were consoling me, I appreciate it. I really do, because it was a tough, bad beat. But that's why it's gambling, and that's why you know, you do what you do, and you got to bounce back. But I think I'm done for the year. I really am after that.
3-0 lead for the Sabres. You think that's locked up? So, I mean, there was something there, Bobby. You were close on it, so we'll give you that. But let's talk about something exciting here, Pete, is the Boston Bruins kind of finally with a big statement win over the New Jersey Devils on Wednesday or on Tuesday night. They were up. The Devils were 3-1, and Boston came back and won the game. And I think the MVP of that one was David Krejci, Pete, who is available in many, many Yahoo leagues. He had three apples last night. And that second line, just as we were talking about the other day, finally starting to score again. So what do you think about Krejci there? I know he's a center only, so, you know, it's kind of tough unless you're dropping somebody like Sean Monahan. But, you know, what do you think about adding him for the rest of the season?
Well, I think like the secondary scoring will eventually get going. You see Craig Smith getting going as well. We've seen kind of hot and cold performance from Nick Ritchie. I think they do have the talent. Even DeBrusque, we don't talk about DeBrusque because he's such a disappointment, but over the course of the rest of the season, he should chip in as well. The Bruins secondary scoring has not hit its stride, but Krejci was out of the lineup here and there. So now that he's back, he's one of those guys. There are only a couple out there, center only guys on the waiver wire. Kirby Dach is another one. He had a first assist of the season in his third game, so that was a great sign. But yeah, those are the two guys out there right now. Center only waiver wire pickups, David Krejci, the Bruins 5-on-5 shooting percentage, second worst in the NHL. They haven't even hit their stride yet. So they have games in hand. Don't be surprised at all if and when they pass teams like the Penguins and the Islanders, even though they're 0-5 against them. You know, that's what we're banging the drum on here.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's not going to surprise anybody if that happens. And, you know, the rest of the way, I think even a guy, you know, like Krejci and Matt Grizzlick is another one that should definitely be added in all formats. I mean, the rest of the season, I mean, Boston is just a good team. You know, they had close to 50 shots on goal against the Devils last night. And I just think it's, you know, Charlie McAvoy is another one, Pete, that's been a little cold too. He scored a goal last night, so he could remain, you know, hot for the rest of the season. And it's the teams like that, you know, they're in the same conversation, you know, as the Carolinas, as the Washington, as the Tampa Bays, of the Kings of the East, right? So definitely add these guys if they're available. Even, you know, if you do want to take a flyer on Nick Ritchie again, I would give the stamp of approval on picking a guy like that too up if he's still available. So, you know, get in on Boston now. We all expect them, I think, to finish strong here.
Yeah, and they're a team like another one you didn't mention, Colorado. Like when I look at this, any of the stat leaderboards, like Colorado's on everything, you know, across the board, they're like top five in everything. So like Boston is the best penalty kill in the league. They're top five in possession. They're bottom five in PDO, which indicates that they have another gear that they haven't even reached beyond just the shooting percentage that I mentioned. So like they're one of those teams that checks all the boxes. We know they have the championship gear. And that's the team, you know, even though these other teams in the East are performing better than them to this point, and they're kind of clinging to that fourth spot, there's no way, even though the Rangers are playing better now, there's no way that the Rangers are going to catch a team like the Bruins, because the Bruins haven't even played their best hockey yet.
It's true. And also, you know, some reaction from Tuesday night is the Central Division is so weird, Pete. And I think it's going to be one of the better storylines, you know, to close out here. But we saw a really weird victory from the Columbus Blue Jackets 3-1 over the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then we saw Chicago win a thriller 2-1 over the Carolina Hurricanes. These teams just won't go away.
Yeah. And you could see, you know, and then Nashville and Dallas went down to the wire, of course, and Dallas loses again in extra session. So they got a million overtime shootout losses this year. But like, I find that whenever these teams play each other, any of them can beat each other, including like, right, Tampa Bay lost. They've lost three in a row now. They lost to Dallas. They lost to Detroit a couple of weeks ago. They lost to Carolina. And then, you know, now the loss to Columbus, which is so typical of Columbus to be having a horrible season. I know it was McElhinney, but like they always have Tampa Bay's number. They're kind of like a little kryptonite to them. As we've seen the past couple of playoffs at different points. But yeah, with Columbus, it's just like, if they string together a couple of wins, they'll be back into the fourth spot. They're only like, what, three points behind teams like Nashville and Chicago and Dallas still within striking distance. So nobody other than Detroit is out of this thing. And Florida keeps playing well, despite all their injuries. They lost a couple of guys the past few days, including Ekblad, who's out for 12 weeks. Unfortunately, we got that news, but yeah, it's like a mishmash of teams, and the top two, you know, who are going to make it, but the other ones are all up for grabs.
Now, what do you think about Verhaeghe? You know, he had a big game against the Red Wings.
Huge,
there.
Yeah.
I'm a little skeptical. I mean, it's the Red Wings. Okay. So there's that, but I'm a little skeptical of his value the rest of the way, but I don't think you can drop a player like that after the performance.
Yeah, you can't. And I know you were trying to convince me about Uyghur. The same applies to Verhaeghe. But the good news about Verhaeghe is that Barkov is coming back soon in the next couple of games, if not their next game. So, you know, Uyghur's not, he's going to have to carry forward without Aaron Ekblad. But, you know, definitely Barkov's just going to make Verhaeghe better. They've been a fixture together. And now we've seen a couple of multi-goal games without Barkov. And Verhaeghe's among the even strength goal leaders. I saw Mike Kelly tweeted out. He's like second or third in the league. So totally legit. We'll get him back into the top 100 forwards in time for the top 200 update this week. We're sorry we dished you a little bit, Carter Verhaeghe, one of the breakout players of the season without question.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 30 even strength points, or 30 points, excuse me. Only one of them's on the power play, which is right. Unreal. What do you have to do in the NHL to get on a power play unit? You know, you just keep scoring almost a point per game, right? I mean, eventually yeah. He's got to get a shot up there. But yeah, so the Florida Panthers, that'll be an interesting one. I do want to talk about Elvis Merzlikins, who had a good game against the Bolts, Pete. I've got a lot of questions, I think, the past two or three weeks about him and Laine on that Blue Jackets team. The people asking me about Laine, I've mostly said to drop, just because they always say that someone kind of intriguing is available, which I certainly think is true. I just don't know about this Merzlikins situation the rest of the way. Like, he's definitely the guy there. It seems like he could be the true number one the rest of the way from here on out, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of appeal there with him and that team. They've got a minus 24 goal differential.
Yeah, the goalie tandem's been disappointing for fantasy purposes, no doubt. A lot of people got them both in the middle range, Korpisalo and Elvis. And, you know, Elvis has been out a couple of times, and it just hasn't materialized how we thought. We had really high hopes for Columbus. We thought they were a near lock for the playoffs. They're far from a lock. They'll be lucky if they even make it at this point. But if he does emerge past Korpisalo as the starter, I think there's definitely high upside. You could definitely see him have the ceiling of having a couple of shutouts down the stretch of the season, be one of those, maybe like the Saros of last year. Even if Columbus doesn't make the playoffs, you could see him be like from the final month or final month and a half to the end of the season, he has the ceiling of being maybe the best goalie or top five goalie in the entire league with his shutout potential. So that's like what you're looking for and hoping for with Elvis Merzlikins, as opposed to some of the other, you know, kind of weird flyers out there on the goalie market right now.
I also want to react to the Rangers, you know, 5-2 win. I don't want to get too, you know, granular here and try and dissect it, but I did see a nice performance from Kako. You know, I mean, Buchnevich has continued to play well, but Kako looked pretty good out there, Pete. And I'm curious to see your thoughts on this. I obviously tried to make the case of the Rangers making the playoffs. I think at this point, it'd be the quickest take I've ever abandoned, just because when Boston starts rolling, they're getting in. Pittsburgh, you cannot discount that team. They find a way every single year. Nothing will happen to the Islanders and nothing will happen to the Caps. So by that math, by that logic, you know, New York's not getting in, and I don't think I'm picking up Kaapo Kakko.
Yeah, and they're better than like about three or four of the other fringe playoff teams in the other divisions, the Rangers with their scoring flair and everything like that. But it's just like tough straw. I mean, we see, you know, for even worse, you know, example is like the Sabres, just how they've gotten absolutely demolished. They have like six wins on the season or something. It's just crazy how tough that division is. We've even seen teams like the Bruins struggle mightily there. And Pittsburgh, like you alluded to, they've been the best team in March in the whole league. They're tied with Vegas for the lead in wins. They're tied with Colorado for the lead in points in March. And that's Pittsburgh largely without Evgeny Malkin. So yeah, I think the Penguins are about 12 points ahead of the Rangers, and the Rangers have a game in hand. So you're looking at a 10-point gap. It's just until it happens, until Pittsburgh falls apart, which is highly unlikely, and the Rangers like finish the season as one of the best teams in the league like they did last year, it might not even be enough if they finish the season as strong as they did last year, just because of the caliber of teams that they're chasing. So that's that makes it feel a little hopeless, I think, if you're a Ranger fan.
Yeah. Now with, you know, Jared McCann playing lights out. So for anybody out there that he's available, absolutely add this player. He's a plus 13 on the season. He's racking up points right now up to 16 total in 23 games. And you're getting the even split, which I love, of 8 goals and 8 assists, which is just, that's all you can ask for as a streaming option right there. And then Zucker too, you know, returns against the Islanders the other night. So there you go. Any questions about their depth has now been answered. And it seems like the perfect storm here for them, Pete. You know, even with Casey DeSmith maybe going to have to carry some time if Jari's a little bit banged up here, we'll remain to see, you know, what happens with that. But, you know, any one of those guys, I would say certainly pick up. And then, you know, Geno Malkin, you have to figure, is probably going to come back, you know, towards the end of the regular season. And that's just a team that you're not going to want to face in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because we've talked about how, like, you know, the past few years they've had early exits and stuff like that. Like, considering how well they're playing, I know the goalie tandem like is down to one right now, like you said, with DeSmith's numbers this year are amazing. 8-3-0, 9-29, 2 shutouts, you know, full marks to him, especially after having to go back to the AHL last year is never easy, but he's getting another opportunity here. But I wanted to ask you about the Penguins. Do you actually think that they, you know, this resurgence of the team like could make them a candidate to win a round or two in that tough East division? I know it's daunting, but the way they're playing seems like they could play with anybody right now. No team has owned the Islanders like the Penguins have this year.
No, I think that's a good bet. You know, honestly, they kind of remind me of the Detroit teams where Datsyuk and Zetterberg were getting old, but it's a team that you never wanted to face in the playoffs. You know, I mean, and sure, they're going to have a couple early exits here and there. It's the NHL, right? You get an awkward bounce. Hey, in fact, the Penguins got good bounces for years, right? And then the bounces started going against them and they start getting early exited. Now, going back to the bubble, though, I think, you know, I'm going to give a lot of teams a pass there, especially the big kind of dog veteran teams. I just, you know, I wasn't reading too much into that. You know, it was a perfect situation for a young team, fast team like the Lightning to do well, stuff like that. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. You know, getting bounced by Montreal, you know, doesn't look good on paper. No one's going to say, you know, anything good about that or try and spin that in a positive direction. But I do think there's a lot of renewed upside. And I think, you know, the whole Brian Burke regime coming in there too, Pete, is kind of that, to me, it kind of feels like that one last stand type of mentality. And I think we'll see them have a little glimmer of hope in the playoffs. Now, it does all depend on the first round matchup. If they play the Islanders without an Anders Lee and they don't do anything at the trade deadline, the Islanders, I would pick the Penguins in that series.
Nice. And yeah, it definitely feels like a new opportunity for the Penguins to get maybe, you know, another deep run out of Crosby and Malkin, who both dealt with injury last postseason. So that early exit in four games against Montreal where they couldn't score if your top two players are injured, I mean, it explains it a little bit. It's not an excuse, but you have to mention it. And then Letang very quietly too. We were kind of a little hard on him earlier in the year and saying he didn't look too great, but you know, he's up to like top 35 overall in Yahoo, forwards included. So he's bringing the category coverage, DFS lock, and just looks more like the Letang of old. And, you know, when those stars are going, you don't need a second line. You don't need a second power play. So it's been crazy to watch.
And for Letang, like I remember I was like keeping him in the top 25 at all points of the defensive ranking. So I'm like, this name is too good. The household name value is too good to drop any further. And I was getting people on Twitter like week after week saying like Letang's been terrible for me. And I'm like, okay, but what are you going to do about it? You can't drop a player like that. So we're keeping him where we're keeping him in the rankings. And finally it paid off. Now it's not like the Brent Burns situation, Pete, where it's like, you know, the whole team is on the decline. The Penguins are certainly not on the decline. You know, as you mentioned, Sidney Crosby and Malkin playing well in the playoffs wouldn't surprise anybody. With that said, I do want to shift gears here and talk a little bit about McDavid. No questionable play last night, no doubt about it, but that's not what I want to discuss here, Pete. From a fantasy lens, he's 1.7 points per game this year. He's on pace for 95 points in a 56 game season. That's ridiculous.
That is crazy. I mean, we did have him projected for the most points of any player in the league, but I think when we do those safe estimates, we had him for like, what, 75 or 80 or something. And we were thinking, yeah, oh, he could probably hit that, but maybe not because it's a weird, wonky short season. But of course he, you know, doubles down on it and he's searching for 100 points. So yeah, pretty insane. I was surprised to see Edmonton lose in that fashion to Montreal. Give Montreal some credit. They've definitely been better since the coaching change, and to come out after a break, especially as a team that was kind of dull, like I mentioned, offensively and blitz Edmonton like that. I was actually looking, Montreal now has nice separation between them and Calgary. Calgary is now tied with Vancouver in points with the same number of games played. So Calgary is essentially done. I mean, unless some transformation happens overnight. I mean, I think Vancouver at this point might have a better chance if they get Pettersson back of catching Montreal, but Montreal very safe in that fourth spot in the North right now.
And some news on Pettersson, I guess, that he's staying on long-term IR. You know, it's right, not progressing well. So you have to, this will be one of those things that'll come out, you know, after the season, and then we'll know the full extent of it. And I can already see it, Pete, where the Canucks, they kind of have these legitimate excuses, right? Like they'll have some of those, you know, and they'll be fine next year. I don't have concerns about them in the future. But you mentioned the Calgary Flames. Like I have a laundry list. I have an encyclopedia full of questions about that team's offseason. And you don't want to be in that position. You'd much rather be in the Vancouver position where, yeah, you've played like 40 games already. Yeah. You still have a chance at least, you know, but you do not want to be in the Calgary where you're like, well, if Markstrom gets going, well, if Monahan gets going, well, if Goodrow. No, I mean, you can't hit on every single one of those things, right? And Sutter coming in there, you know, we already reacted to that. It doesn't need to be beat here into a pulp, but you know, I don't know what much that was doing either. It's mostly on the front office, in my opinion. So yeah, it'll be interesting because I do think Montreal, like going back to them, they have some appeal, Pete, but I think that was more of a case of Edmonton being on the second of a back-to-back. The only time they even looked alive was when they got a few power play opportunities, but they weren't even doing anything on those. So, you know, I'm not ready to get too high on Montreal again here.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see, like we were talking about, I'd like to see Caulfield join the mix and make them, you know, an upset candidate for whoever they play in the first round of the playoffs. I do think that could actually happen if they integrate him and go in with the best foot forward with their depth in the organization at different positions. So yeah, that's one thing I'm looking at. You know, he's not going to join the lineup anytime soon, most likely, but keep an eye out for sure. Also, Thomas Tatar wanted to remind people that James was talking about him 2 weeks ago. The Canadians hadn't played a game since then, since that Monday show 2 weeks ago, because of the COVID-19 protocol. But Tatar, I think, scored another goal yesterday or had an assist and he's up to a 4-game point streak. So keep an eye on him. He was one of their most valuable forwards last year. Slow start to the season, but starting to turn it up at the right time. They can use performances like they got last year from Tatar down the stretch to, you know, create some momentum for the, for themselves.
Yeah, and he was mega valuable last season too. So, you know, the pedigree's there. He's a great player. He's always kind of been like a 55, 60 point guy over a full season, which you're going to get value for. And then I also, though, I just wanted to talk about the Carolina Hurricanes here. I've got ADD this morning, but I was thinking about James's waiver wire list on Monday, and he wrote about Martin Nietzsche's. I just can't believe, Pete, that a player like that was even on the waiver wire story, because Nietzsche's has like 75 point potential over a full year, right? And now I was thinking about it this morning in a keeper league. I was looking at either Svechnikov or Nietzsche's, and I'm like, I'm almost tempted to go with Nietzsche's. Not to, I like Svechnikov. I think he's going to be like a 40 goal guy, but Nietzsche's could be like the, you know, that Backstrom type guy where he's got like 65, 70 assists every year, tons of power play points. What do you think about Marty Nietzsche's long term?
Well, I think it's definitely, we were talking about it even before he started playing with Teravainen, Sebastian Aho before Teravainen got injured. Like, we were talking about how anytime you would notice, right? Like, a lot of the times there are so many games going on. You watch some games, you catch the highlights of others. You see some highlights of Sebastian Aho playing with Marty Nietzsche, but you're like, they're not playing together primarily, but they're creating highlights. Like, when they're on the ice together in the few moments that they're on the ice together. Now, sure enough, we mentioned that on the show. And then sure enough, now they're playing together full time. I mean, that's a huge thing for Nietzsche's keeper league stock. And you'd rather have him rest of season, even if Teravainen comes back, but it probably sounds like it's a long-term deal with him, unfortunately, with the injury. And Svechnikov's ceiling is very high. His floor is also high. He struggled this year, scored their only goal yesterday. But like, his floor is extremely high. He's still like top 75 overall in Yahoo. So, you know, see if he gets put back up with Sebastian Aho down the stretch, he could make, turn that back into a top 20 overall finish very, very easily. So I would still go Svechnikov in a keeper league, or, and even for the rest of the season here, but it's getting very, very close. Like, Nietzsche's is one of the most valuable players in the league. And I look back to the beginning of the season, you had him on your deep sleeper list. So we were all over that. And now he's getting an even bigger role than we expected.
Yeah. And I mean, Teravainen, like, I was thinking about this too. Like, he's a good player, Pete, but it almost makes a player like that, you hate to use the word, but expendable in a way, just like one of the Rangers prospects. Like, you know, one of those three guys is gone this summer. They're just, it's the way it's the league's going to go. You can't have all these guys sitting on the shelf. So, you know, if the Canes keep winning like this, you know, and they make some noise in the playoffs, I mean, you're going to look at that and think, oh, this is interesting. And I can't even believe, like, I would go Svechnikov too for his shot volume, P, in all formats. But just the fact that you can even entertain that conversation now says great things about Marty Nietzsche's. And it's so cool that it's happening when the schedule's condensed, because he had 4 points against the Bolts. I mean, he had 6 shots on goal. He played 23 minutes in that game. And if he can go toe-to-toe with the Bolts, you know, on a really rigorous schedule, he could light it up against anybody. So very big things happening there quietly in Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, you would have said if they didn't have a player like Teravainen, who was their third best forward entering the season, you would say they would have no chance at winning the cup. But like, they could still contend for the cup, even if Teravainen doesn't suit up another game this year. If they get him back, it's gravy. You can, you know, play him on the second line with Svechnikov on the other wing if you want to. They have definitely some riches going on with their depth in Carolina. I know that they lost to the Blackhawks yesterday, but we're still, you know, we still keep them in the same category, top four teams in the NHL for the rest of the season, fantasy wise, and also in terms of like cup contenders. I think Carolina still in that conversation for sure.
Yeah, what do you make of the Blackhawks the rest of the way here? Like, Lankinen played really well. Now, it's worth saying Carolina did outclass them pretty hardcore in that game, 32 shots for Carolina as opposed to 16 for the Blackhawks. That being said, though, I mean, you know, Kirby Dach, good to see him get on the board with an assist. Only played 13 minutes, but still, I'll take that. What are you thinking the rest of the way here? Do you like the Blackhawks to keep around in this thing?
Yeah, I do. I prefer them, you know, just from what I've seen this season and the consistency of that team. They, you know, they drop a few games here and there, but they always respond, right? They had 4-game losing streak, but then you know, nice response against the Panthers last week. And then, you know, they got swept over the weekend and then a big win here. So they're staying afloat. I know the possession metrics are not on their side by any stretch, but I do kind of prefer them because they have the offense, because they just got the extra layer of Kirby Dock, because they have a workhorse goalie in Lankinen, as opposed to what Nashville has going on with their tandem. So, yeah, I think it's very close. Like that debate, I was thinking very hard about that one. Who do I think has a better chance to make the playoffs the rest of the way? Nashville, who's super red hot right now. What, six in a row for them? And Tolvanen scored the overtime winner. But and I love their defense. But, like, I still think, like, the Canes and DeBrincats can power the Blackhawks to a place that Nashville at this stage of the game with their trajectory can't get to.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, Chicago has the horses. And yeah. Nashville, everything with Tolvanen is going right now. Ekholm's playing really well. Yossi's back. Like, they're just, it's a little too good. Oh, and Matt Duchene, by the way, he's been out of the lineup and they're ripping it up. So not to, you know, read too much into that, but that's certainly an interesting trend. He goes down and then they start playing well. That's always an interesting one. But yeah, I do like Chicago's schedule though a lot. I do like their schedule. They've got Dallas a couple times. They've got Detroit twice. They play Nashville three times in the last 2 weeks. So I think right there, that'll decide the division, which, you know, it's kind of crazy now. The Central wasn't really that exciting, you know, outside of Carolina, Tampa, and Florida. But now, you know, you're going to think that's going to be the best thing to end the season there is who's going to get in from that division.
And what we were talking about earlier with Merzlikins, like, don't count out the Blue Jackets if they turn it up, for sure. If Line A gets going, I'm on the verge of dropping Line A in one league. I mean, you know, it's kind of similar to Zibanejad, in which you, like, really, you're really getting close to doing it. Unfortunately, I think having the coach not exactly full force on his side makes you worry even more. You were never really worried about David Quinn giving, you know, Zibanejad a lesser role or something like that, even though he does that with the younger players. It never crossed your mind when Zibanejad was struggling that they were going to take away his ice time. Whereas here it's just, what, 4 points, one goal in his past like 17 games or something. I mean, he's not even worth rostering right now. So that's why you're really contemplating this thing, unfortunately. And if they fall out of it, they could even trade him again, but that'll be a conversation for another day. At least Columbus still in the mix, 3 points behind, a big win over their foes in the Lightning. And you just hope they could keep it together because we expected more out of that group.
It'll be one of those things where if they do get in, like, you don't want to face that team. It's always just the Blue Jackets' history of a tight series. And then, like, if Line A rips it up in the first round, you know, no one will remember, you know, that he wasn't that good right now. Everyone will forgive him and we'll all move on. But you're right. It's a big storyline because you can't, like, I just know that Line A, I'm sure he's not happy with the 13 minutes. Like, nobody, you know, in that caliber of player is going to be happy with that ice time. So credit to the GM, though. I mean, he's made so many good moves considering how much turnover they've had in the off seasons, kept this team in it. And really, on paper, you look at it and you think, okay, you know, that's a competitive roster. So, you know, saying that much, you have to think that the coach is somewhat responsible, but also give some credit to Tortorella because they do win big games and they're still in this thing.
Now, you mentioned Brent Burns earlier, and he's another guy that struggled. And Erik Karlsson is a guy that I have in a couple of my leagues just because I was expecting him to be bounce back city with good health this year after the long layoff. I dropped him. I still have him in two leagues, but I dropped him in one over the weekend to pick up Trouba to be a category specialist / streaming spot. Of course, Erik Karlsson then goes ahead and has his best offensive game of the season, at least. Not his career, like the one reporter asked, not even close. But Erik Karlsson, 2 goals, and seems to have his confidence back. And if the Sharks beat the Wild on Wednesday, they're only 4 points behind the Blues. So, like, is Erik Karlsson, are you back in on the Erik Karlsson train, Robbie?
Well, first of all, asking him if it was the best game of his career after 2 goals. I mean, are you forgetting that he was a point per game defenseman? I mean, come on. Okay.
82 so, and 82.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, have you been like, okay, well, let's not get off on that because that's a whole nother thing. But yeah, no, I am in on Erik Karlsson. And I think, Pete, just the Sharks in general are kind of one of those teams where it wouldn't surprise me to see them muster up a fight now, you know, and be in games. Like it'd be one of my betting favorites too. Like they've got a weekend series against LA back to back in LA. If they take those two games, Pete, I mean, that's everything. They'll be right back in the picture, you know, with Arizona. So Carlson's the one guy too, right? I know that you and I think right after they got Carlson, we went to a game here in New York, a Rangers game. And we just saw like them struggle on the power play between him and Burns. And like, it never looked right, you know, the fit, but now you're starting to see Carlson kind of assert himself, play in his own lane, do things like that. And I think as a fantasy owner, you'll be rewarded for that the rest of the season.
Yeah. I mean, look at this schedule. I mean, I don't think the Sharks are a good team by any stretch. They're not among the league leaders in any important category. They're middle of the road at best. I know the power play has been a little bit better lately, but like, look at the schedule coming up. Minnesota, they wrap up the series. They beat them the other day in a shootout. Two against LA, one against Anaheim, two against LA, two against Anaheim. I mean, if you're only like 4 points out, and they've shown the ability to beat those two teams. So you could see the Blues. We were talking about, is any team going to really challenge them? Clearly the Coyotes are going to challenge them. They have a big game on Wednesday against the Avalanche. We'll see what they're made of here, but yeah, I think the Sharks could challenge them too. If the Blues don't pick it up soon, you know, I was looking at their like the fourth spot in each division. Like the Blues are arguably the worst team in the league that's still in playoff contention right now, like in a playoff position. Like those teams in the Central, we always dog the Central about being weak, but they're right there with the Blues in the standings in terms of points. So the Blues are one of the worst teams that are currently sitting in playoff position, crazy enough.
Would you trade Mackenzie Weegar for Erik Karlsson if you could?
I would, yeah, I would for sure. Just because, yeah, one guy's proven, the other guy's not. Even though, like, Florida, this is one thing I keep thinking about. Like, they keep winning, even though these guys are out. Hornquist is out, too. They lost to Duclair yesterday. How many injuries can that team stomach and continue to move forward and win games with? I mean, I think it will eventually catch up to them. It's good news that they're getting Barkov back soon, but again, that defense, like they've let me down in the past before, the Florida Panthers defense and back end in general. I know the division is weak, but like, I just worry that they're going to drop a bunch of games down the stretch of the season. They'll probably still get the third spot in the playoffs in the Central, but like, I don't know that it's going to go this swimmingly for much longer. I think you have some of your best players out. Huberto's the only one that's still there and producing in a big way with all these injuries. So if he cools off and other guys don't come back, I worry about the Panthers. I worry about Weegar even staying fantasy relevant. I don't think we've seen the best from Carlson yet. We just saw like a little touch of it the other day.
I agree with that. I mean, you can't get too high on the Panthers. You know, if you've learned anything the past few years, it's definitely that about that team in particular. Now let's turn ahead to the slate tonight, Wednesday night, some good hockey. One game in particular I really, really want to watch is the Leafs and Jets. And I think, you know, this is a game where I expect the Jets to win and assert themselves in the division. I can already see the headlines being written tomorrow in Toronto, you know, that Nylander needs to be traded and this, that, and the other after like a minus two tonight. So that's my take on the game. Now, I'm not saying that's a sledge by any means, Pete. I just want to watch the game because I kind of think that James is onto something here where that Jets team just has something more, you know, whether it's chemistry, whatever you want to call it, an intangible than the Leafs do.
Right. The strength of the Leafs are their top two lines, but the Jets might have two lines equal to them, if not better on some days. So, you know, that totally cancels itself out. Who has the better goaltending rest of season? It's Hellebuck for sure, as long as he's healthy and the team's healthy around him. So yeah, this could be where it starts to turn for the worse with Toronto. Tough loss for them the other night to the Oilers, but they're still the class of the division entering this matchup, but they're only 1 point ahead of Winnipeg. And if they matched up in the playoffs right now in the second round, those two teams, who would I pick? Who's a little bit more playoff savvy and, you know, seasoned and just built for that time of year? Like, it's the Jets. So that's what I'm thinking here. I'm excited to watch this game for, you know, fantasy purposes and to see who wins this game. This is not going to make or break anything tonight. It's just going to be, you know, a little taste of what's going to happen. I think like the Jets would probably beat the Leafs in a 7-game series right now. So Leafs prove me wrong, prove me otherwise, right? Like, until they actually do it, the Jets have been there before and have won some big games in the playoffs. So, yeah, I think that, like, their offense is a carbon copy of the Maple Leafs, but then the rest of the team in general is better on the Jets side than Toronto.
Toronto's -140 on the road. So you have to think that, you know, they are poised for a really hard effort. It's going to take a lot for the Jets, you know, to hold that down, but who's better than Connor Hellebuyck at home, Pete, that to do that at +120. So if you like that value, definitely lay something on that. And this is definitely a vulnerable spot for the Maple Leafs. You might be thinking, how is it vulnerable? They're on top of the division lead. First of all, being first in the North Division, it says nothing. Second, the Leafs are such a reactionary market. And when you live in a place like Toronto, every day there's 15 stories written about the hockey team. So tomorrow, if they do lose this game, everyone's going to be clamoring to go out and get a defenseman. But I just think that that's a bad move. I just think you have to stick to the core that you've built, and you live with the results. I mean, Toronto is an offensive first team. They're fun to watch. And if these guys are all hot at the right time, they're going to be very hard to beat. It just doesn't happen very frequently.
And it's not great news for the Maple Leafs, who maybe would have been near the top of a list for, say, Matthias Ekholm. It's not good that the Predators are now surging like this. It doesn't look like Ekholm would even be traded. I think he's a free agent the following season, not this year. So Nashville can let it play out, and they could always trade him next year and still get a lot back in return. But, you know, everybody up in Canada hoping that the Maple Leafs would get Matthias Ekholm, it doesn't sound like that's going to happen just with how well Nashville's been playing. So defenseman news that was a little surprising, that Shane Gostisbehere got waived. I mean, do you think if nobody picks him up, like, do you think there's any hope for the rest of his career? Like, would he benefit from a change of scenery somewhere else, whether it's via trade or getting picked up on waivers or something like that, fantasy-wise?
If you're going to put all the blame on Shane Gostisbehere, I mean, you're just doing it wrong, Philly. Like, again, I like this Flyers team, you know, but I can't get behind something like that. I do think Florida should claim him. If there's one team that needs a guy to play 20 minutes and just keep things steady, a little offensive flair, it's definitely the Panthers. But yeah, if he goes on claim, Pete, you know, he could light it up in the AHL, something like that for Lehigh Valley. But you know, it's always tough, right? When you see a guy in fantasy, he was a top 10 asset at the position for two seasons in a row, one where he had 17 goals in like 63 games, which is absurd for a defenseman. So it's tough to see that. I do hope he gets a shot, because I always think, you know, that he could return to some of that glory in the right situation. But, you know, going back here, it's definitely not his fault in Philadelphia that Carter Hart is now a head case and that Brian Elliott can't bail you out every night when he's taking 40 shots and you're only putting up 15 the other way.
Yeah, it's almost like low hanging fruit to like pick on Gostisbehere when everything else is going wrong, right? I mean, it's just, yeah, we've talked about the development with Hart or lack thereof. And, you know, now they're kind of not putting him in the games anymore. They said he's not playing the next two games. He's not even dressing. So yeah, the Flyers are a mess. And Gostisbehere, I think, although you could pin some things on him, he's the least of their bigger worries right now. So Flyers go up against the Sabres again. I mean, Sabres +170. I'm not even going to mention this to Bobby, but Ullmark, one thing I looked at with Ullmark, I know he coughed up the game the other night. The guy just came back from injury. So he has only played in three of the games that the Sabres have lost in their 18-game losing streak. Actually, the streak started in the game when he got injured. So this is just something to remember. Even though the Sabres are an embarrassment in many different ways this season in the NHL, I mean, could they win this game against the Flyers? Yes, they can. They almost did last time. Two games ago against the Flyers, they lost in a shootout. So third time's the charm. I'm not picking them as a sledge or anything crazy, but they have some appeal here. Ullmark has some appeal to return value, even in a loss.
The thing with the Sabres is, you know, since they broke my heart last game, you know they're going to win tonight. That's just a slam dunk. I surrender.
Exactly.
I'm surrendering. So I am not going to take the Sabres, even though, you know, everyone knows who listens to this show that they're winning the game. Just so you know. But you didn't hear that from me. As far as the rest of the board goes, I'm on the sidelines, folks. This is where people – now, I took a loss in the sledgehammer standings. I'm going to take a couple of days off, because usually, and this is just a piece of advice to the young bettors out there, anyone that's bet on games. When you have a heartbreaking loss like I had with the Sabres the other night, it's best to just step back from the board for a couple days. You know things aren't going your way. You know that it's probably going to lead to another loss, and then you're going to find yourself in a hole, and then you're going to try to chase yourself out of it. Just take a step back. So I'm taking a step back, and I'm going to rely on Petey and Robbie to give the picks tonight. You're not going to hear them from me. Maybe that's a good thing. And I'll be back in action probably early next week. It's going to take me a couple days to get over what happened with the Sabres, as I said earlier in the show.
I hope you tweet out by 5 p.m. today that you're taking another sledge on Buffalo Bob, because we need someone to do it. I have the same feeling. I'm just not betting Buffalo this year, period.
That's where I'm at now. This is now probably, you have to remember, the 3-0 sledgehammer loss was probably like the fourth or fifth time I took the Sabres to end this losing streak. And now I really do believe, though, there is a part of me that believes the Sabres are just in the tank, meaning they are so demoralized. They have no confidence at all. I mean, the empty net missed shot scenario says it all to me. I mean, the guy could not even stay on his feet. He got so tight, he fell and couldn't even hit the empty net. I just think the Sabres are toast. I have no interest in betting them tonight. But as I said, guaranteed win. Guaranteed win.
Well, another one that went wrong for one of our guys. I know James flipped to the Wild on the puck line against the Sharks the other day. We were talking about how inconsistent the Sharks are. I mean, that's got to be close. If we're talking about the Sabres maybe bouncing back from the other day, the Wild are probably going to bounce back against the Sharks. If you do a little Wild puck line tonight, plus 165, I mean, that's really good value. I like the Canucks plus number. I like them to beat the Flames. They haven't played in a while with, you know, big break in the season for them. They haven't played in like a week. So look for Vancouver to be a little rejuvenated. They won't have Pettersson, but Horvat's playing on the top line right now with Besser. So that's a new wrinkle for them. I like them over Calgary. It's a small number, but plus 105. I think Vancouver will beat the Flames tonight and pass them in the standings.
And I felt the pain that James felt, because actually after the Sabres loss, I went right to Minnesota for a little bounce back. And I mean, they lose in the shootout. I think it went like 8 rounds, and Ryan Hartman in the shootout is trying a slap shot and he misses the net. And then here comes Carlson. His slap shot
goes in.
Yeah, did the same thing, but it goes in. James is a loser. I'm a loser. James was a loser the moment it went into overtime, but I was a loser the moment Eric Carlson decided in the 9th round of the shootout or whatever it was to score. So, I'm taking a breather. Okay, I can't say it enough. I'm taking a breather from the Bucks.
Well, I'm not pulling out a sledge tonight. I do like the plus 105 pick on the Canucks PD. I think that's really solid value too. And then the last thing here that caught my eye is a story on BroadStreetHockey.com that the Flyers are looking for goaltender help before the deadline. So I would just issue a stern warning to James Reimer owners, Jonathan Quick owners, any goalie that could potentially be available. If they get to Philadelphia, that's an instant drop.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention some DFS picks for tonight. We mentioned Ullmark, some sneaky against the grain value with the good save percentage. Jonas Donskoy, I was going to ask you, Robbie, like, he's got 11 points in his past 9 games and they're playing the Coyotes here. So another ripe spot for him. How close are you coming to considering Donskoy as their best secondary scorer in Colorado compared to maybe like the other wings like Saad and Burakovsky? Those guys have not been producing lately. So Donskoy on the third line has been doing like even more damage than those guys.
I know it's good to see that though for Colorado, because that's how they're going to win in the playoffs. When a guy like that scores, you know, when the top line gets shut down against a tough defense pairing. So I would get Donskoy, you know, as a standalone guy in DFS. Obviously, if you want to do the McKinnon McCarr stack, you're welcome to do that. But if you're looking to save money, the best strategy is to take a third line guy from a team like Colorado, from a team like Tampa Bay, a la Yanni Gourde, et cetera, because if they get on the scoreboard, they're going to be low ownership. And that's how you win a contest.
Calgary continues to get respect from the bookmakers as they are a favorite against Vancouver. I mean, they got their doors blown off the other night as short favorites. Vancouver, like you said, hasn't played in a while. Teams that haven't played in a while, usually it takes a period or so to kind of get in the rhythm. But I think this will be the last game Calgary's favorite for the rest of the season if they, you know, lose 5-1 or something like that.
Well, Bob, they've scored 96 goals in 37 games. Ottawa scored 94 in 36 games. I mean, there's something going on there that's a major problem. You can't, like, and I think that's why you never want to come for the bookmakers here. And it's not, I respect them saying it's, again, Vancouver, you know, Calgary should win that game. I agree with that on the premise, but I do think they're a little bit late to how bad that Flames team really is.
Yeah, no, they are. You can't bet Calgary right now. I mean, the last stand was the other night against the Jets, and, you know, they got their doors blown off, like I said. And if it happens again tonight, I don't think you'll see Calgary as a favorite the rest of the way. I mean, if it's a one-sided absolute shellacking, that's it for Calgary. They are favorite tonight, like I said, but if you just base off of what you're watching on the ice, you can't believe that Calgary. Now they are a short favorite. It's a very short favorite, but right now, I mean, they are a total mess. Okay, that'll do it for the show. I'm going to wrap up the show by telling the folks this. And all the haters who come at me on a regular basis. Keep on listening. Keep on hating. We love it. We love the interaction. Keep hitting us up on Twitter. Robbie, Pete, they do a great job. Davey Satriano is going to be coming on Friday, so stay tuned for that. The guy's been in hiding for I don't know how many weeks. He's going to actually have a sledgehammer guaranteed for all the listeners. And then support the other podcasts. We got Eric Stahl jumping on NHL at the Rink. All right, we had the Hockey Central at Noon folks reunion show. McLean, Kiprios and Darren Millard going back and forth for about an hour. I think the Canadian listeners will love it. Support the podcast. Do us a favor. Keep sending us reviews on Fantasy on Ice and what we do for you guys and what Pete and Rob do. And we'll talk to you on Friday.
Definitely wanted to just say thanks for everybody that follows the Instagram account. 30,000 followers this morning. So that's big steps in the right direction for sure. And thanks for all your questions for sure. Keep them coming. Keep the reviews coming. Like Bobby said, we really appreciate it. It goes a long way in supporting all of us. And we'll talk to you again on Friday with Davey Boy. We're looking forward to that. Thanks for tuning in.